Joseph Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us. On Thursdays, we've been going through the book of Galatians, and we are going to continue that today. We are picking up in Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view. And the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. There's a lot here, and we really don't have time to unpack all of it and still keep this at a podcast length. But a few things to point out. First of all, this is the turn. Many of Paul's letters have a turn where Paul will tell you a lot of things that you need to believe or understand about God and yourselves and faith. And then there's a turn. And he says, in light of these things that we believe about God, here then is how we should live. And so the turn here is, in view of everything that we have been talking about how it is by faith that we are justified, not by the law. And he uses Old Testament examples to prove this. He uses analogies. He uses allegories. All of these to say, this is true, that God has saved us by grace. Therefore, walk in freedom, not under the law. There's a very scary verse here, Galatians 5:4, that says, you are severed from Christ, you would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Certainly there would be different interpretations of this, but we must remember that difficult verses in the Bible must be interpreted by the clear passages that we understand. So when we read Galatians 5:4 in the context of Galatians, in the context of the whole Bible, we don't see here him saying that you were saved, but because you're trying to be justified by the law, you are not saved. Now, the argument would be, in view of all of Scripture, that those who are trying to be justified by the law have not chosen to be justified by grace, that they did not make a genuine conversion, that they have not been regenerated by Christ, because they are seeking to justify themselves by what they do. You might say, what's the big deal, Paul? We're saying, of course, Jesus saves, but in order to truly be saved, you must also be circumcised. He recognized what this means. It is Jesus plus something. And anytime we add something to the gospel of grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are adding a work. We are adding something we do to contribute to our salvation. And he recognizes that this is no salvation at all, that this means that you have not trusted in Christ, that you've trusted in Christ plus something else. And this is why he say the first imperative that he gives in view of everything he calls us to believe is do not submit to the yoke of the law. Christ has set us free. And what does that freedom look like? Faith working through love. This is mirroring what Jesus said in the Gospels, that the whole law could be summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, why do we not only have that command? Because Scripture unpacks for us what it looks like. It renews our hearts and our minds and our spirits about how we can, with right motives and a right relationship with God, love him and love other people. But our motive is faith working through love. Our motive is not to justify ourselves before God. Paul uses a little bit of humor here. I remember the first time I recognized what he was saying. And not only humor, but it's humor that's a little bit crass. Here in Galatians 5:12, I wish those who would unsettle you would emasculate themselves. which, you know, we know what particular issue of the law that we are talking about. Another translation says, I wish that those who were harassing you would go the whole way and finish the job, essentially. This is God's word. Paul's making a pretty crass joke. That would not be his recommendation. Elsewhere, he says, do not use harsh speech. But the Bible is not above using humor to make its point and saying that this is serious business. Finally, you are called to freedom only, and now here we would say, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. People, we are as humans prone to pendulum swinging, right? If it says it is not the law, it's grace, well, then we can live however we want, right? And interpreted in the context of all Scripture, and here in Galatians 5, we don't use our freedom as an opportunity to indulge ourselves. You know, the danger that eventually they're going to devour one another, he points out here. But freedom to live out our faith, working through love. And we do this through the grace of God. We are saved by grace through faith. We live our Christian's life by grace through faith, not trying to earn God, but receiving God. If on Christmas morning, one of our kids opened the present and said, oh, this is a wonderful gift. Don't worry, Dad. Don't worry, Mom. I've already started saving so that I can pay you back for all of these gifts that you got me. Well, our hearts would be broken. That's not what we want at all. We want to bless our kids on Christmas morning. We want them to enjoy us being able to give them presents because we love them. How much more so if the gift that I gave my kids on Christmas morning was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I said, son, I love you so much. I have bought you a professional sports team. It only cost me $7.3 billion. I looked that up today. Right? It would be ridiculous for them to think about paying me back. It is so beyond the scope of something that would be possible. In the same way, we would never be able to give God enough to overcome our sin, to achieve the righteousness that is required to be in God's presence for eternity. We could never pay him back. Of course, it's not a perfect analogy because somebody did buy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at some point, obviously. Right. But the point remains that we will never be able to pay back. And God is not asking us to. It is a gift to be received by grace through faith. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. And so help us not revert to law. We are so prone to do it. Some of us have a harder time than others of just receiving, of being able to say thank you for a gift. Thank you for graciousness. And God, and you are so gracious with us. So Lord, help us to work out our faith, working through love, the life that you've called us to do. And we thank you for your word that shows us in depth how we can do that, how we can operate in the light of your goodness to us by being loving and gracious and merciful to those around us as we seek to be your disciples. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.